This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
You know, a prayerless life will be an earthbound life. If you find all your conversations having to do with stuff here on earth, you know, whether it's politics or sports or business or just horizontal relationships, it's a symptom of a prayerless life.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled, Pray Like This.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we open up our Bibles together to Luke 11, where we learn from Jesus how we might pray. You know, prayer in some ways is the simplest of things. It is simply a saved sinner conversing with the saving Savior. It's saying, Lord, I want to talk with you. I want to commune with you. I want to have a conversation with you. You know, primarily as followers of Jesus, we know that we listen to God through his word, that that's the primary means by which God communicates to us. And so when we open up God's word, we know it's living, it's active, it's God's voice to us. It's a sure word. But then we respond to what God tells us in his word by talking to him through prayer. What a gift prayer is. You know, Jesus went to the cross and died so that we might have the privilege of prayer. And so as we open up our Bibles to Luke 11, we're learning more about how that time with God would be energized and filled with power and joy. Let's open up to Luke 11 together.
Come like a little child in desperate need to a dad who loves you, to a dad who is all-powerful, to a dad all-wise, a dad who never fails. Come like that to a child who has that kind of dad and a child who is in desperate need. This is the attitude of prayer. This is what drives us forward. Jesus often points to children to teach us how to live by faith, how to live by humble dependence upon God as our Father. And here Jesus is teaching us to have the attitude of a little child toward their dad when we pray, when we talk to him. And we ask the question, well, what do little children say when they talk to their dads? And the answer is everything. they don't have anything that limits their conversation. How often do they talk to the dads? Well, they engage over and over with joy. Now, some little children are more talkative than others, to be sure, but little children who have loving dads never afraid to ask what they desire. They ask. They ask boldly, they ask sincerely, they ask repeatedly. It's a lovely thing. And a conversation with a little child, it's often messy. It jumps from this to that to the other thing, seeming without any logical connection. Oftentimes it's filled with emotion, all kinds of emotion. They're all scattered because that little child just pouring out their heart. That's the kind of conversation that Jesus is saying is right. Is necessary for us in prayer. It's not sophisticated, but it's real. It's often even repetitive. Can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? Can I? but above everything else, it's real. It's not an external show. It's not formal. It's not legalistic. Really close attention to the rules of grammar. It's not measured by what is said in it. It's measured by the heart of it. So here's the truth. Prayer is the child's real cry of helpless desperation. That's what prayer is. It's a real cry of helpless desperation. Prayer is the child's call to their dad as they look for help, comfort, provision, forgiveness, and guidance. And I think Jesus models this attitude all through his life, but even in his death. You remember in the garden, He's praying to the Father. He's asking his disciples to join in prayer. They're sleeping. But he prays out, Father, Daddy, Abba, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. Father! Cry of desperation. And on the cross, Luke 23 records that it came to the place that's called the skull. There they crucified him. The criminals, one on his right, one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Father, Daddy, Daddy. Now, the big question before we dig deeper into the subject of prayer is this: do you have God as your Father? It's the most important question before we take even one step further in the subject of prayer. Do you have God as your Father? And I tell you, on the basis of Scripture and what Jesus has said, most do not. Most people in the world don't have God as their Father. Jesus said, the way is narrow. Few are those who find it. Most people in the world do not have God as their Father. And I would ask you, do you? Now, the Father doesn't shut out anyone. So the limitation of those who are in God's family is not on God's side. It's on the human side. It's on the human side. It says, nope, Jesus isn't God. God, you're not God. I'm finding my own way. And the invitation is open to all. And if you have never, ever received Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Lord, received Him, then you don't have God as your Father. And God would call you, come to me, come to my Son. I will adopt you into my family. I will make you my very own. You will be my beloved now and forever and ever and ever, world without end. But you must come. You must receive my Son. We want to look now at the content of this prayer. Jesus taught a praying focus. So look at verses 2 through 4. When you pray, say this: Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. Notice the simplicity of this prayer. Notice its wholeness, its completeness. It covers everything that's really important. It's not flowery. It's not complicated. It's straightforward. One of the first things we notice about this model prayer is that Jesus instructs us in five specific petitions, and all five petitions focus on relationship, the relationship between a father and his children and the children with one another. Prayer is the ultimate expression of sincere love. It's an expression of sincere love for the Father who adopted us in His family. It's an expression of sincere love for other brothers and sisters who are in the family. And that's what this whole prayer is about. The first two petitions have to do with a loving expression toward God. God, you are our Father. We care about the things you care about. This is your house. You are the head. You're the one who's in charge. We are submitting our lives to you. We want what you want. We're trusting you. That's what the first two petitions are all about. The last three petitions are, and Father, because you placed us in a family, not isolated into ourselves with you, but you placed in a family with other brothers and sisters, we're going to call out for ourselves and for one another because we have needs that only you can provide. And we're going to talk to you about those. And that's the focus of the last three petitions that are given in this great prayer. The first prayer focus and the first two petitions have to do with praying for God's interests. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. So Jesus is saying, as you pray, it's going to cause you to attend to the vertical of life. We tend to only see the horizontal. And he says the first thing that prayer does is all of a sudden you become aware of the vertical in an extreme way. Paul says this about the vertical: if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. It's the vertical, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you've died and your life is hidden with Christ and God. He says, if you don't know where your real life is, it's above you. It's not here. This life and everything you see is temporal. It's that life that's hidden with Christ and God in the heavens that lasts forever and ever. When Christ, who is your life, appears, you're going to appear with Him in glory. It'll all make sense then. But for now, this is taken by faith. Prayer is God's means to help us set our minds on the things that are above so that we don't just become consumed with the things here on earth. You know, a prayerless life will be an earthbound life. If you find all your conversations having to do with stuff here on earth, you know, whether it's politics or sports or business or just horizontal relationships, it's a symptom of a prayerless life. And we need to say, Jesus, teach me to pray. I don't want to live life that way. This gets really depressing if all that I'm looking at is here in the horizontal. And prayer lifts up our heads and says, there's a vertical life. This is where your real life is. Set your minds on the things above. That's where there's hope. That's where there's joy. That's where there's purpose. The less we pray, the more we'll be fearful, anxious, and grumpy about what's happening here. You see a grumpy Christian? Because they're a prayerless Christian. Prayer takes our thoughts and our hearts upward to taste some of the goodness of heaven now. And what are those interests? Well, there's two that Jesus mentioned. Hallowed be your name. You know, hallowed, it's a strange word, isn't it? It's not something we use in common conversation very often. I just asked some of you teenagers, maybe college students even, when was the last time you used the word hallowed in a conversation? Did that come up this week? Probably not. It's a good term, though. The Holman Christian Standard Bible simply translates this way, may your name be honored as holy. May your name be honored as holy. Hallowed simply means that we honor God's name. We honor that God is good and right and just, pure, holy, great, awesome, merciful, gracious. We honor God's name. This request asks for God to act in our hearts in such a way that more than we want honor for anything else, we want honor going to God. Lord, I want you to be everything. That's what hallowed be your name means. I ask you to change my priorities and my affections so that I treasure your name above everything. I want your name to be seen as beautiful and wonderful and awesome more than anything else in the world. That's what I want. And that's right, out of the gate, hallowed be your name. May your name be honored. This desire, it's not natural to our self-oriented hearts, is it? We wake up in the morning and we desire for our own name to be honored. We have dreams that our own name be somehow, whether our name or our children's name, somehow some connection to us would be seen as important. Prayer rearranges that. It says, no, more than anything else, I want God's name to be seen as the greatest name of all. Praying fervently for God to be honored by everyone is a mark of a healthy soul. It's where Satan collapses from the beginning. He wanted his name to be honored, and that's the beginning of all sin, and that's why hallowed be your name. Let's pray for that. Pray for that. It's the greatest protection for a soul. Two applications to jot down. Let's pray that we'll have the boldness to speak to others about the greatness and goodness of God. That's one way we hallow God's name. That's one way that this prayer would be answered. And secondly, let's pray that we live in a way that honors God's name. The second interest here is thy kingdom come. So Jesus is born a king. That's why the Magi come and worship him as a king. He's a ruler over a kingdom, a real kingdom that God's establishing and will bring to earth in a future day. All who are in Christ are citizens of this kingdom, and as citizens of this kingdom, we long to see the king. He promised he's going to return. He's not present with us now. We see him by faith. We don't see him with these eyes, and so thy kingdom come. I want to see the king. Do you? I want that day to happen, and it's right to long for it, to look for it, to desire it today, thy kingdom come. We pray for that to happen. The New Testament teaches us that God's kingdom is both already and not yet. So presently, Jesus is already ruling. He's sitting on the throne in heaven. He's residing over this spiritual kingdom of his people, over his church. In the future, the Bible teaches that Jesus will return bodily to defeat all those who resist him, who oppose him, and establish himself as king. He'll take a seat on the throne of David, the Bible says. So when we pray for thy kingdom come, we're praying first this invisible kingdom that's already. Increase it. May your rule have more reign in my life, in my church. I want Jesus to be the head of this church. I want Jesus to be the head of my life. Him call it making decisions. But we're also praying, and Lord, you promised that Jesus is going to return and establish a kingdom where every knee is going to bow. I want to see that. I long for that day. That's what it means to pray, thy kingdom come. Lord, let this little space that is my life and that is my church that occupates this part of this green earth, may this be a space that submits to you, is surrendered to you. That's thy kingdom come. The second prayer focus is not just for praying for God's interest, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, but also it's a petition for our needs to be met by God. Daddy, we need you, and we need you together. It's not just a prayer individually for me. But it's along with me, but also for my brothers and sisters. It's not give me this day my daily bread. It's give us. It's not forgive me my sins. It's forgive us, Lord, that we would be washed, that we'd be a clean people. It's not lead me not into temptation. Lead us not into temptation. It's an expression of love. Prayer is an expression of love for one another, especially those in God's family. What childlike requests these three are. Give us each day our daily bread, forgive us our sins, and lead us not into temptation. The first says, Father, you made me with a body that hungers, a body that thirsts. I get sick, I grow tired. Please daily provide everything we need for a healthy body so that we can honor your name. Please provide that. It's right for us to pray for that for ourselves and for each other. The second says, Father, you made me with a soul. And it's a soul that fails. It's a soul that sins against you. I'm overcome by guilt and shame. I don't know what to do with that. I can't do anything with that on my own. And it's a soul that's still corrupt. There's part of my heart that still has sin just rooted in it. So please wash me, cleanse me daily from my sins so that I can enjoy you, so I can walk with you. And the third petition, lead us not into temptation, says, Father, you made me with a body and a soul, and both of them are weak. My body's weak, my soul's weak. In this world, it's not a friend to you. It's hostile to you and to your people. And there are all kinds of temptations that deceive me, that are alluring, that are enticing. I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself to walk in a temptation and say, yeah, I'm strong enough, I can overcome it. Lord, lead me not into temptation. Don't let temptation even come near me. And when it does come near me, help me to see that way of escape you make and take it immediately, knowing that oftentimes there's only one way of escape that you open. And if we walk past that, we walk directly into enslavement to sin. The assumption in all three requests is that we have needs we cannot meet and only God can. The assumption is our stomach is going to grow hungry. Assumption is that our soul will sin. Assumption is we're going to face temptations we're not going to be able to resist. And here's what Jesus says. So pray, 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 pray about all these things very specifically. Pray, pray, pray. Pray for yourself. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Take these needs to Him. God never, when He hears these requests, pray day after day, rolls and say, oh brother, here we go again. Didn't they learn yesterday not to sin? Why do they have to ask me to forgive them again today? Oh boy. That's never the heart of the Father. Three observations about these requests for provision. Observation one, Jesus teaches us to pray for others' needs as much as for our own. Observation number two, Jesus teaches us to pray for the spiritual and the physical. So we're not spiritual if we neglect the physical, but we're also not spiritual if we neglect the spiritual. Okay. Observation number three, Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily needs. He doesn't encourage us to ask for such bounty today that we can disconnect Him from Him tomorrow. He doesn't ask us to pray for that. He just says, God, each day. He doesn't tell us to, hey, ask God to build bigger barns to hold your stuff so you won't need them tomorrow because you already got it covered. He says, no, just to ask God to daily give you what you need in your body, in your soul, in your walk. What heart the Father has for us that He would listen to these things? I've had great joy in being a grandpa, and Lord willing, I'll be a grandpa a second time very soon. But my first little guy, he's 2 years old, so he's starting to interact on FaceTime with me more. And last summer, I read him a little book, and then I tucked it away. We have, 30 or 40 different books that we had to, from old time to read to him when he was here, and we read a few of those. And so just a couple weeks ago, I was on FaceTime with him, he said, book. He wanted me to read him a book. So I go down, have FaceTime. I said, do you want me to read this book? Nope. This book? Nope. 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 Go through all of them. Nope. What book do you want me to read you? He says, football. I said, I don't think there's a football book in here. Sorry, Malachi, I don't think there is one. So, nope, football, okay. So I went through and tucked away. There's a little book about football by a little guy he remembered from the summer. And so I read that to him, showing the pages while I'm reading. And I finished it, and he says, Mo, okay. So I'll start, read it again. reticent. Mo, I think I'd still be reading that book if I didn't finally cut him off. Let me ask you, do you think that was a huge burden and chore to me? Oh, this kid, he make me go down and look at these all these books. Oh, I finally got it. Now I read it to him once and he wants it again. What's going on with this kid? No. The heart of a father, heart of a grandpa is like, oh, this is great. This is everything I hope this relationship would be at this point. Obviously, as he matures, the conversations will deepen, but I pray that that joy, that happiness that he has talking to me and that I have talking to him would never dim. And that's the heart of God for us. And he never tires hearing about football book. We think, oh, it's silly. No, he never says it's silly. If it's on our heart, he never thinks it's silly. And after he answers and hears us say, Mo, Mo, he never rolls his eyes. He's that kind of God. Friend, you have burdens today. Perhaps you're facing uncertain diagnosis, battling some threatening disease. Perhaps you're wondering whether you'll have a job tomorrow. Your credits max out, your bills are piling up. Perhaps you are hounded by the shame and guilt of some past sin. Perhaps you're overwhelmed by some powerful enticement. Perhaps you're overrun by some discouragement. Discouragement from relationship, discouragement from circumstance. Perhaps you're caught in a web of sin habits that enslave your soul. Take these to your Father. He loves to hear you talk to Him. He loves to answer and provide in the very, very best of ways. Lord Jesus, teach us to pray. So I ask you again, do you have God as your Father? Here's the word of the Lord. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, to all who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but who are born of God. That is who we are in Christ.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now here's Rich.
Well, thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We want you to know, as a listener to this radio ministry, we pray for you, and we take that seriously. We would love to pray for you specifically. We're entering into a new series on prayer. We pray that this series would enliven and quicken and energize your walk with God, and particularly that aspect of your walk with God where you're communing with Him, conversing with Him, talking with Him through prayer, that God would just draw near to you as you draw near to Him. But we would love to hear more about practical ways we can intercede for you. And so we would invite you to go to our website and share with us how we might pray. As the teaching pastor here on this radio ministry, I want to make a commitment to you that I will pray for you. And I believe that God hears us when we pray. I believe those prayers are powerful. So please, won't you let us enter into your need by praying for you? Connect with us, share with us how we might pray for you specifically.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback. And please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.